1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
And I don't want to use Doris Day because it sounds spoogish.
So we're doing Boxcar Willie, 6 days on the road, and I'm going to make it home tonight. What is Hollywood glamour about that?
Oh, for God's sake, just for once, would you let it go? Just don't play it back. Take two.
I'll do it. This is a real movie?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. I'll look it up.
Anus McGillicuddy.
Yes, 2003. Think I'm lying?
Well, I don't know, man. I'm with you guys. I don't know. Anus McGillicuddy. This is one of your top movies of all time, huh?
Yeah.
Who does it star?
Paige Abbott and Henry Lloyd and Daryl Kahn.
Oh, well.
Oh, excuse me, Clark Gable. I forgot you got a TV show coming up. Well, step back. Anyway, the number one movie of all time is Anus McGillicuddy. This stars Paige Abbott as Anus McGillicuddy. Or no, Paige Abbott is his girlfriend. Anus is Henry Lloyd. Anyway, when Anus McGillicuddy's woman stops a would-be assassin, Anus is forced to interrupt his life of guzzling beer and women to dispose of the corpse, played by Daryl Kahn. What starts as a simple chore quickly escalates into a darker plot of deceit and revenge when it seems even Satan himself is after Anus. The reward for his bravery is a job protecting the woman from danger. In the mix, on the R.C. Collins Bradley Military Academy, my word is poontang scale, I give it a 10. What?
Nothing.
Well, now it's my turn. What did you say?
I didn't say a thing.
Well, if I swear to God, I heard the Q word.
I didn't say anything.
All right, we'll keep it that way. A mixture of chemicals when he pitched it at some guy's house, probably in Malibu, butt up with a flower in it. Okay,
I thought these were the top movies of all time, man. How did that suck?
Well, I mean, it was okay.
Well, then why is it in your top 10?
Because I think she's hot. Because she's slamming. And he's not bad either. Number 6 is Troll 2. We've been waiting for the sequel with bated breath. A lot of you guys like to hang out in your freaking Darth Vader costume. Good for you, Chewbacca. I'm waiting for Troll 2, and guess what? My dreams have been answered. A young child is terrified to discover their planned family trip, blah, blah, blah. Coming out number 7 is Daniel Der Zauberer. I don't know what that's about. At number 8 is The Final Sacrifice, number 9, Hobgoblins, number 10, Monster Go-Go.
Man. Kids gotta go. All right, that's RC's top 10 movies of all time, and we will go through them again for you. Number 10, Monster A Go-Go. Number 9, Hobgoblins. Number 8, The Final Sacrifice. Number 7, Daniel Der Zauberer. Number 6, Troll 2. Number 5, From Justin to Kelly. Number 4, Super Babies, Baby Geniuses 2. Number 3, Santa with Muscles. Number 2, In the Mix. And the number one movie of all time on RC's top 10 list, Anus McGillicuddy.
1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
All right, now, our good buddy Raquel up there in Toronto, man, she sent us a ton of stuff today. This is some of the most amazing stuff. I'm telling you, this chick has got to know guys because she sends us these videos. They're all about, like, the mafia and war. And, you know, you got to understand that a guy likes. I think that we like it, but I particularly like history. Here's a book she sent, The Personal Photographs of Canadians at War, 1939 to 1945. Now, this is because she's from Canada, but it's got, you know, it's stuff you don't see, like Canadians getting after it. And then, War in Focus, 150 years of dramatic photography from the battlefield. And this is one of those coffee table books. Now, here's the one that I think is just amazing. I saw this at the bookstore. And I don't know if these are DVDs. This contains rare, removable documents, memorabilia, and an audio CD. Oh, it's documents and stuff. But it's a collection of just historical documents and things from World War II, from D-Day to the destruction of the Third Reich. There's another one here called June 6th, which is the invasion. And it also is sort of a historical review. And that's just the comedy CDs. Now, getting on to the drama.
No.
And she sent one here, Capturing the Freedmans. Now, have you seen this, Harry?
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
What is this about? Who are these people? Are they psychos?
If I'm not mistaken, it's about a family. It's about a father who gets becomes convicted of child molestation, and it's a documentary about his whole life and his kids and how they go through this whole thing.
Well, here it is. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Reviewed by Herb Sewell. Three thumbs up. That's great, Herb. And then we have the Iceman. Now, I saw this guy interviewed. Now, these are the Iceman interviews. Conversations with a Killer. And this guy's name is Richard. I believe the name is pronounced Kolinsky. I saw this guy interviewed. He's a real, real psychopath. He is, I guess, convicted hitman for the mafia. But he just went out and killed people for fun. And I wouldn't say for fun, but just because they bugged him. He tells one story. I remember seeing him interviewed. Somebody bugged him in a bar. He was sitting having a drink in a bar, and some guy was talking and just talking too loud and acting too obnoxious. So he grabbed a can of gasoline and shoved a rag in it, lit the rag, and as the guy got into his car, he threw the can of gasoline in the car and slammed the door shut on the guy. And I was thinking to myself, well, that's, you know, one way of dealing with it. No, it's obviously pretty sick, but interesting. All right, now, here's another one called Canada Remembers, Remembering the Heroes of World War II. See, every time you say Canada, you know, people laugh, but in World War II, Canada actually did some. Canada actually went out and kicked some ass. An Errol Morris film, Mr. Death, The Rise and Fall of Fred A. Leuchter? Who's he? The award-winning director of Thin Blue Line comes the provocative and chilling true story of Fred A. Leuchter Jr., the son of a prison worker and a self-taught execution expert who consulted with prisons across the country to make capital punishment more humane. When Leuchter is called in as a high-profile expert in a sensationalistic Canadian trial, his ego, bravado, and absurd testimony reach national media prominence. Soon, a firestorm of controversy erupts. Ironically, what Leuchter thought was going to be an apex in his career only ruins it. Oh, I gotta see that. I always love it, man, when, you know, some dude's kind of brought down when he thought he was just on his way to the heights. Errol Morris's first-person complete series. This is a different kind of reality TV from the Oscar-winning director. These are interviews with, I don't know what the hell this is, eyeball to eyeball. Is this some kind of a gag? That sounds like one of our shtick. Doesn't that sound like Doug Danger, eyeball to eyeball? In the Kingdom, it's, I don't know what the hell, but, and then there's another one here called The American Pimp by the Hughes Brothers. You've seen this one, Harry, right? Is it a comedy? I hope it is. It looks funny. Thanks a lot, Raquel. Pretty solid stuff, man. And again, we want to thank our friend Colby, if I may say, our friend Colby Bazell of sending us that email, because it was good to meet him. And if you want to go to our website and check out all that we have to offer there, including that picture halfway down in the left-hand side column that made a certain radio column today, by all means, www.philhenryshow.com. That's www.philhenryshow.com. And when you get there, pick up a backstage pass. It's only $6.95 a month, and it's going to give you the opportunity to listen to all of our archived comedy. You can also check out our video. In fact, I've got part 11 of Phil Drives to Work that ought to be up there tomorrow. And instead of just like one-minute film video clips, we're making them like 3-4 minutes so I can get the thing finished and out of my life. So that's there, as well as our souvenir shop. If you'd like to stop in, you pick up some new things that we've got there for you. We've redesigned the ladies' T-shirt. We've got some new Ted Bell stuff. And we're also certainly encouraging you to buy our Best Of CD for 2005, Are You For Real? It's available now on our website, in our souvenir shop on our website, www.philhenryshow.com. We already broke, didn't we? All right, now, here is that letter that I was going to tell you. This guy writes, Phil, I thought I'd share something I last heard on Howard Stern's show. It's a bit of history, some of which you may already be familiar with. Howard was talking about a term paper someone wrote about him and was reminded of life prior to his show's first FCC fine. He said before that, people who complained to the FCC about the show would receive a letter stating that the only speech they regulated was the 7 words and to simply change the station if they heard something they didn't like. Then, after the Christmas show in 1987, where some guy played the piano with his thing, somebody complained, and whoever at the FCC decided to fine Infinity, and as Robin said, that was when all broadcasters should have been up in arms and the fine should have been fought. Most likely Infinity would have won. They paid the fine, though, and he said he's always felt like things have gone downhill ever since. Anyway, I thought if one of these letters from the FCC could be obtained, it's a pretty decent weapon against them. They said themselves that aside from the seven dirty words, they don't regulate speech. Talk about something coming back to bite you in the ass. Thank you, Jason. And thank you, Jason, for sending me an email where I just spent the last 5 minutes plugging Howard Stern's show. So thanks a lot. Hey. No, it's all right. What do you want from me? The FCC is never going to... Satellite is really the future. Satellite radio is the future. I don't want to say that the that commercial radio is terrestrial radio is dead, because there'll always be a place for terrestrial radio, just as there's always a place for over-the-air television. Cable TV is exciting. Cable TV is the greatest thing that's happened to television. So naturally, that's why the FCC wants to stick their ugly face into that. The FCC is acting in an extra-constitutional manner. And only when somebody decides to sue them will anything happen. I don't have the bread to do it. If you want my honest opinion, you know, not only my honest opinion, I don't have the bread. The only cats that could sue the FCC are the broadcast companies, and they act in collusion with the FCC. Do you understand? You know what collusion is, don't you? The major broadcast companies of in radio, and to some extent television, act in collusion with the Federal Communications Commission. It's the only time I've ever heard of an industry cooperating with a regulatory agency to undermine the people that work for them. But that's exactly what happens. So in order for them to get licenses for the radio stations that they buy, they collude with the illegal acts of the FCC, even if it means the jobs of people that they're supposed to be supporting. Hence, over the last couple of years, you've seen people fired outright, not for breaking the law. It never even got that far. They just got fired because somebody thought maybe they broke the law. Now, why aren't there lawsuits? Well, there's no money in it. There's no talent out there with enough bread to bring a lawsuit themselves. There's no attorney out there probably conversant enough with communications law to understand what the hell is going on and to bring the lawsuit. I mean, you talk to some lawyers, and these guys are very smart in some areas. Ask them about communications law. They couldn't find their ass with both hands. Honest to God. So it'll just keep going on until satellite radio presents enough of an alternative that people flock over to that. And then when the commercial broadcasters realize that they're losing money, that's when they'll put pressure on the FCC. But only when they start to lose money. Only when they start to see the listener base go over to satellite. And why would people go to satellite? Because you can get adult programming. You can get a wide variety of music. You can really just get a broader mix of radio entertainment without commercial interruption. But that's not really the half of it. The more important aspect of it is, it is not censored. You can hear what you want to hear, and if you don't want to hear it, you can turn it on or off. And for that, a moderate price. Now, I'm just telling you the facts. I'm not saying that I hope it happens like that or whether it will, but that's the facts. That's what's going on. Now, there's 8 million subscribers to XM. There's 2 million subscribers, close to 2 million subscribers for Sirius. There probably will be a few more once Howard gets on. Is he on the air now? He's not on the air. Well, once he gets on there, the number ain't going to go down because everybody I know is getting satellite radio. My wife just had it put in her car. My next door neighbor carries it up to his freaking veranda when he's out popping, you know, having a couple of pops and watching the sunset. I mean, everybody's got it. I got it on my TV set now. I got XM on my TV set. So it's not like it's going to go away. The only question is, how rapidly will it grow? Will it grow rapidly within the next year, 2 years? Are we talking 5 years out? Look at cable TV. When's the first time you had cable service in your house? The first time I had it was in 1980, because I was living in a town that was in the foothills below Mount Wilson out here in suburban L.A., and I couldn't get the over-the-air signals. And I thought it was pretty cool. I've had cable ever since 1980. And I know some people who've had it since 75 when HBO first started. But when cable really started to make a difference was when? Mid-80s? Early 90s? Mid-80s? I'd say mid-80s with MTV. Only took about 5 years. 5-6 years. I'm thinking the same thing for satellite radio. About 5-6 years. And all bets are off. But if you ask me, Is it worth worrying about the FCC? Not really. I don't do any material on my show that threatens me, although I've been told consistently to moderate my material, even though I've never had a station fined because of me, and I've never been fined. But sometimes, you know, what happens is they ask you to stop doing what you're doing. because they're afraid you may be in violation of the law, and they can't even tell you what the law is.
You're going on a bad legal stand of chair.
It's not your job, bud, to regulate what I talk about, okay?
Getting boring.
I don't care if you're too stupid to understand what I'm talking about. If I hear that I'm taking little white pills and my eyes are open wide one more time, someone dies. Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Lucky shot.
Yeah.
Right in the gut. I love your show. I've been a listener for over 3 years. They used to air you here in Amarillo, Texas, but they dropped you in place of a sports show, as if there were not enough of them around. As a subscriber, what happened to the show in which Dave Oliva is talking about some sort of police maneuver called the LaRouve? I don't know, man. We'll try and get it on for you. All right, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Doug Danger is going to join us here in a couple of minutes. Doug's going to be talking with us about the new movie. Have you heard of this movie, Brokeback Mountain? Now, I'm really reluctant to talk about films like this, and I'll tell you why. It's getting a lot of Oscar talk, but nobody's gone to see it yet. Now, I'm not saying that no one will go see it, but I am telling you that the movie is a cult kind of a, it's not a cult deal. It's only out on 5 screens. I don't know what the hell it is I'm saying or why I'm saying what I'm saying. But the point is, everybody's going to see Narnia, man. Everyone's out, you know, they're looking at Harry and the Goblet of Spew. You know, they're looking at the Goblet of Spooge. They don't care. They're looking at the Goblet of Spunk. I mean, they're not, they're not looking at whatever that flick, what's the thing called? Broke Butt, what is it again, bud?
Yeah, Busted Butt Mountain.
Busted Butt Mountain, okay. Anyway, Doug Danger joins us from the Orange County Courier. And Doug is the entertainment writer. Doug, we're making a joke here. The movie's Brokeback Mountain, right?
That's right, Phil, Brokeback Mountain. The movie is it's a star vehicle for Heath Ledger, and it's a movie that features a storyline about two gay cowboys who meet on this ranch, who are married, who are leading straight lives and go back to their families, but continue their relationship down through the years. So it's probably a genre breaker. It's a genre first, I guess, featuring gay cowboys. Now, you know, Phil, I'm a gay man. I'm a gay journalist. I've written from the standpoint of gay culture for the Orange County Courier here for a long time. And it's my feeling that this movie, you said that it has not done a lot of box office. I'm sure it's going to do some because of the Golden Globe and the possible Oscar nominations. But I don't think that people should see the movie only from the standpoint that it's Hollywood at its worst. It's Hollywood taking a time-honored genre, which is the Western, and deciding to pervert it. Because they're angry that, with the exception of Robert Rodriguez and Clint Eastwood, they haven't been able to turn a dollar on a Western, and they've decided to, if they can't make money on the Western, why don't they do to the Western what I guess they figure most gay men do to each other in toilets? And that's, you know, I mean, I'm a gay man and I get...
Now hold on for a minute. Hold on. You're gay, but you're saying this is a gay-themed film, but you're against it.
I'm not against it. I think that the movie is a perversion of a time-honored... The Western is something that... I think it's a genre, it's a kind of film that we've enjoyed for a long time. Brokeback Mountain is a fantasy. It is a fantasy that Hollywood would like to see come true because Hollywood wants to destroy the Western. And
why? I mean, you just said... Well, you did just say...
What I told you is Clint Eastwood...
You say Clint Eastwood and Robert Rodriguez, the only two guys who can make a Western.
Absolutely. Everybody else has taken the Western and has turned it into a vehicle for some, either their own personal, you know, 21st century political viewpoint, or they use the Western as a metaphor for something. I mean, Eastwood and Rodriguez know what the Western is about. It's really about basic core primitive issues played out in a sort of in a very stark landscape where there is a very uncluttered landscape. Where black and white and where good and evil can play out in their very stark contrast. But, you know, by the way, I've got a cold, Phil. And,
yeah, I'm just getting over one myself.
Right. It's great. But, you know, as a gay man, as a gay journalist, I think that this is pandering to a lot of people who are feeling guilty that they were against gay marriage, and so they want to embrace a gay movie, and they're going to run out and see Brokeback Mountain, and now they think that they're all gay lovers. And I just want them to know that don't get fooled by Hollywood. Hollywood's trying to do to you what gay men have been doing to each other for a long time, put it to you back door. And for me, Phil, it is the wrong movie at the wrong time.
All right, we're talking with Doug Danger, who is the entertainment writer for the Orange County Courier. All right, Doug, you're gay.
I'm a gay man and a gay journalist.
Right, you're gay.
I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. See, I know you think that there's no difference, but there is. You call me gay, I don't know what that means. You call me a gay man and a gay journalist, my head, you know, I raise my head up from the table. I go, yeah, someone talking to me? You know, it's as simple as that. So,
all right, you're a gay man and a gay journalist. Brokeback Mountain is the story of two men who are gay or have a homosexual relationship that lasts for a long time, right?
Absolutely. As they return to their families and play out this sort of straight life. Now, I don't know anybody that's going to want to go see something like that. I'm gay, and it makes me want to throw up. You know, it.
Why?
Because it sounds ridiculous. It could never happen. It's got nothing to do with Westerns. It's got nothing to do. Hollywood wants to turn the Western into just another Ziegfeld Follies. They want to turn the Western into another Pinocchio's. They want everybody, they want all the dance hall girls to be cowboys. They want the whole thing to be one big gay playground so that once and for all, the Western is ruined. And the only guys that are going to make anything approaching a good Western are going to be the Italians again or the Spaniards, or we're going to have to go back to watching all those Japanese Yojimbo movies. Oh, man. If I don't see another one of those again, it'll be too soon. And why? Because Hollywood has decided to take the Western and flush it down the John. And the best way to do that, turn everyone queer.
We're too... Oh, Jesus.
Well, I'm telling you,
I understand. I just... the movie has gotten rave reviews.
The movie has gotten rave reviews from a lot of touchy-feely, want to be on the right side of the issue, don't want to piss anybody off, film critics in Hollywood. Look, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. I'm gay. Okay, Phil? Okay?
Yes, I know. You're gay.
Boy, what a fag basher. You know what?
I know you're gay.
All right, and I'm saying to you, as a gay man and as a gay journalist, I can see this for what it is. But the rest of these film critics, whether they're the foreign press or the American press, all they do is they see this Brokeback Mountain as an opportunity for them to jump on the bandwagon, to jump on the back of the horse, you know, and ride side saddle with the Hollywood movie industry so they can get invited to next year's junket or whatever their problem is, you know. And, you know, I think a lot of these guys, they relate to the word junk a little bit too much. Maybe what they ought to do is come out of the closet like I have. And let's talk about what we're talking about. We're talking about a bad movie, Phil. A bad movie with two lousy actors.
Heath Ledger?
He's a lousy actor. What, are you telling me he's a good actor?
Well, I don't know. I mean, the guy's really...
He's famous? Good. That don't make him a good actor. Heath Ledger sucks. And I can't even tell you the name of the other guy. So the movie blows. I'm gay. What are you going to do? I'm Doug Danger. That's my Hollywood Gay Minute.
We'll be back on The Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
You know, King Kong just did $110 million, and that was the opening weekend number for King Kong. King Kong, all right? Now, King Kong is a giant ape, and the whole flick I hear, special effects-wise, is pretty cool. Peter Jackson, Lord of the Rings, you can't really go wrong. Now, the original original King Kong was pretty heavy for its day. I mean, the special effects on the original King Kong still sort of hold up a little bit. It's kind of blue screeny, but when you look at those dinosaurs and stuff going at it, it's pretty good. It's stop action photography. It's claymation junk. It's not bad. But King Kong and the cats that made it blew it. Blew it large, and I'll tell you why. Who's the highest paid and most popular movie actress in the history of the world? Who? I'll tell you who. Julia Roberts. Why isn't she in this movie? God, did you guys blow it. You think you're making real cabbage, $110 million? That you can't even pay for tap water with that, man. Julia Roberts, don't you get it? She's the number one chick of all time. Why ain't she the one at the Apes taking up the tower? No, it's Naomi Watts. What's up with you guys? In other words, $110 million. How much did it cost to make this movie? Even though Jackson made it down in New Zealand, you can fly Julia Roberts' ass down there first class. She won't mind. You don't have to charter it. Fly her first class. Just make sure you got a lead-lined door between her and Coach. Get her in there. Fly her down there. Stick her in a trailer. Make, you know, have it smell nice. Give her whatever it is she needs. Stick her in the movie, and you pay her, let's see, how much to keep a smile on Julia Roberts' face? How much to make her get out of bed in the morning? What do you say, $30 million? You can do that. Don't you know that Brad Pitt is the guy, not Jack Black? Oh, my God. This is like Hollywood movie making 101. And I got to tell you guys, you got Jack Black in there. You could add Brad Pitt in there, and you fly him down there on the same plane with Julia. They won't mind, so long as they don't have to look at each other. They get off the plane. They go in there. They do the whole thing with the monkey. How much to make Brad Pitt pull on a pair of tight Levi's? About $35 million, $40 million? All right. So there's $75 million right there. The rest of this ape flick isn't going to cost a lot. Why? I'll tell you why. They filmed it in New Zealand. All them freaking Kiwis work free. They didn't do it in Hollywood. You can't make a movie like this in Hollywood. You make a movie like this in Hollywood, and the United States of America ceases to exist. The economy is bankrupt. The trade unions, you know, there's not enough money in the world to make this movie here. That's why everybody's going down to Kiwiland and they're making their movies. Julia Roberts wants to go down there and she'll work for nothing. So as much as you guys think you're making the big cabbage on that King Kong, forget it. You didn't have Julia Roberts in it and you didn't have Brad Pitt in it. You suck. Now, never mind that Julia Roberts hasn't made a movie that's worth watching in the last, I don't know how many years. I happen to like her. I like her a lot, and I want to see her in more movies, and I want to see her in movies that I want to see, thank you. So the next war movie that comes out, would you make her a Jap or a Russian or something? Put her in something I want to see, will you please? Because I like her, and Brad Pitt I like. All I want is you to put him in a movie that I want to see. So the next freaking Mafia movie, how about, I got this. Julia, what do you think, bud?
How about you make her a kamikaze?
You could make her a kamikaze in, like, a World War II movie. Julia Roberts, all you got to do is put the goggles on her.
Look just like any time in the world.
Exactly. You slap some goggles on Julia Roberts and shave her head. Tora, Tora, Tora. Now, the other thing with Brad Pitt, like, if you make a mafia movie or something, you can make him, like, one of the guys, can't you? Make him a guy that gets shot. I don't know. Do something with him. Those guys are box office magic. But you got to put them in the right movie. Next time you make an ape flick, put her in it. Have her fly in one of them biplanes that he swats out of the air. I got it. She could be like a lost kamikaze pilot who flies into New York in 1931, 9 years before the war starts, looking for a battleship to fly into. She's got on some of them bull haircut goggles. She's got the big... She's got on that freaking flying, what is that thing, that rising sun on the side of the airplane, man, and she's flying around looking for a freaking destroyer. Next thing she knows, King Kong's batted her ass out of the sky. Oh, man. $110 million, ain't that? And here's the other thing about those movies, those $110 million movies, right? Now, they're going to pay the actors, they'll pay everybody off. Any of these guys that have got a piece of the movie, you ever heard of this thing, a piece of the, like, points? Boy, these guys turn into cold-blooded murderers. These guys turn into, like, freaking cutthroat Ben Fagans. Like in the Oliver Twist when he's cutting up the goods with, what's that guy? Who's the guy? Bill something or other? Bill Sykes?
Come on, Bill, it's only a farthing. Give it over, you scurvy dog.
You know, that's the way they are. You got to get 16 lawyers and 105 accountants to make sure everybody is represented, and everybody should have a Thompson submachine gun before they even go in there and look at the books. How come I don't want to say this too graphically, but it feels as it's like somebody kicked me there. No kidding.
You wearing underwear?
No.
There you go.
All right. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Virgin Galactic is a British company created by entrepreneur Richard Branson to send tourists into space. The state of New Mexico has partnered with Mr. Branson, and they've announced an agreement on the state to build a $225 million spaceport. Virgin Galactic also revealed that up to 38,000 people from 126 countries have paid a deposit for a seat. Blah, 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 blah. I'm looking for a date as to when they think they're going to be able to send people into outer space. They're going to build five spacecraft, licensing technology from the company Mojave Aerospace Ventures. They plan to operate their initial flights from Mojave, from the Mojave base ahead of the projected opening of the New Mexico spaceport in late 2009 or early 2010. Dig that. So New Mexico is getting a leg up. See, a lot of people would say, and with all of the suffering in this country, why are they spending money on something like that? I can understand why you would say that. However, look at it this way. New Mexico is getting a leg up on the whole outer space thing, baby. Now, you know it's going to bust one of these days, and New Mexico and Branson. Branson may be a freak and a weirdo and rides around in balloons. Good for him. But you know what? This guy ain't a millionaire because of his good looks. Believe me, if it was because of his looks, he'd be in red ink. This cat is not rich because he's dumb. Now, he has just got the state of New Mexico to fork out $220 million. The taxpayers are probably going to say, are you nuts? Well, it's New Mexico. That's where Santa Fe is. You know what I'm saying? A lot of hippies, a lot of real good green, and I don't mean money. I'm talking about some real rosin-soaked stuff, some real sticky kush, baby. You blast enough of that stuff. You suck enough of that stuff through bamboo, and friend, you'll be building big spaceports. And you may do it for free. I'm telling you right now, this is a beautiful thing. 2009 is when he thinks he's going to blast off, and there's already people paying some large dinero to get on these spaceships. Good for them. I don't give a crap. I'll stay here on Earth, man. There ain't nothing to see out there other than just a whole lot of nothing, a whole lot of black ink. Like, that's the black ink that Branson's going to see? Okay. We'll see you tomorrow. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686.